Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I'm so happy and grateful to have Lauren with us here today, who is a certified goal coach and feng shui expert. Over the last decade, she's worked with thousands of women, helping them achieve their goals and elevate their spaces. She's a speaker, a workshop and retreat host, a podcast host, and she offers a variety of powerful programs to help people step into their power and feel fresh and stoked on life. Lauren, welcome and thank you so very much for being here.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks so much for having me. This is rad.
Yeah, no, this is so exciting. And I have to tell you, Lauren, so just full disclosure with everyone, I met with Lauren a few weeks ago to talk with her about even being on here. And I hadn't really had much experience with feng shui, and I just have to mention this. When she logged in, the way she had her room oriented with the light and the dress she was wearing, I was telling her, I said, is it horrible that I just want to take a picture? Because it was like the most relaxing, welcoming vibe I had felt in a Zoom interaction like that for a while. So Lauren's a really incredible person. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the dress was an accident. This is not an accident. This is, you know, feng shui in the works. But yeah, thanks for having me. I just was tickled that you're like, your dress, everything is matching right now. What is happening? That was great.
Yeah, no, I noticed it and I felt it. And I'm a total, like, this is dressed up for me right here. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I'm wearing Lululemon shorts on the bottom, by the way. So.
Lauren, I want to talk with you about goals. So yeah. I think that you were saying beforehand, and I think this is so spot on, it's such an interesting time to talk about goals. And one of the things I've had conversations with a lot of my clients about lately, some of my clients have had some of their best months professionally and personally during this time of quarantine, sheltering in place, and their businesses have done really well. Their business has not only done well, but they've had these really amazing interactions with their relationships. They haven't gone through stress, anxiety. And so what that leaves them with, and sometimes, is they almost feel a little bit of guilt.
Yeah.
They feel a little bit of guilt for winning. They feel a little guilt for succeeding. They feel a little guilt about growing, expanding, thriving. They feel a little bit of guilt about really winning at business and life, which is what we're all trying to do.
Right.
And in so doing, what I find is that they're almost, when they're feeling that guilt, they're almost having like a resistance against really talking about their goals and what the next steps. And these are the people who are normally so excited about it. And I see them holding back. You know, have you had that come up at all when your goal setting conversations you're having with people? And how should we be framing goals in that conversation right now?
Yeah, I have had it come up. It's really common right now. I think that we feel like, you know, the world, the planet is hurting and there's, you know, this pandemic going on. And so it almost feels selfish to some of my clients for them to stay hyper-focused on what makes them happy and healthy, you know? So it's an interesting dynamic that we have going on. So what we've been working with really is sort of understanding what's in your sphere of influence, right? Typically when I work with clients, we're talking about 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. I have a little saying that I call BHAG, and it's called big, hairy, audacious goals. So we work on BHAGs, which is like the private jet and the, you know, and there's just so much unknown, in our climate right now. So we've been working within the sphere of influence, you know, which is your health and your home and your personal and professional development, things that you can control, right? And I don't mean control, things that you're able to absorb and have an impact on, right? Like your home environment, for example. You know, there's so many things that I've wanted to do to my home that have been on my goal list for so long, and they just sort of fall to the wayside because my why, which is step number two of my 7 steps of goal setting, my why just hasn't been that strong, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a really strong why, it tends to propel your goal towards the top of the list. So yeah, we've just been kind of zoomed in a little bit now that it feels like there's some light at the end of the tunnel of the whole COVID-19 thing. Really just looking into how can we create a really beautiful rest of 2020. Like the beginning, kind of a wild ride, you know, what is, you know, maybe there's some things that we can do to inject some real happiness into the rest of the year? And if so, I think that we all need to be empowered and understand that there are things that we can do to kick that ball into the court, you know? You know, finances sometimes feel awry, and, you know, career stuff for people that are working for other people, you know, that can all feel really weird. But I will say that there has been a lot of guilt for my gals that are entrepreneurs. And what we've all kind of come to terms with is that online businesses are thriving for the most part. And especially my feng shui business, like people are at home and they are faced with their clutter. And the goal setting has been so powerful as well. And it's like, sometimes I wake up and I say, you know, today is like day one of my launch mode, right? For a program or a course or whatever. And I'm like, gosh, should I, is it the right time to be selling, you know? And it's really something that I need to tap into and remind myself that the world needs what I have to offer, and I'm here to serve, right? Like, I'm here to serve and, you know, support my own business as well. So what I've been coaching my clients, long story short, is the world needs to hear what you have to offer. And if that comes through a free product or program, or if that comes through a paid course, the clients that need you the most will find you and they will connect with you.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, have you seen goals evolve? And what I mean by that is, what I feel during this time, and what is this now, mid-May as the time of this recording. So we're still mid-May 2020. So we're in the middle of the Corona COVID pandemic. And what I've really found during this time is I think this has been one of the most extraordinary opportunities to get really clear on who and what matters most. At a time where we normally never have it, because our lives are consumed, or there's so much bullshit trying to compete for our attention, right? Whether it's the commute, or it's the social media interactions, it's you know, how many hours we're putting in the entrepreneurial, you know, kind of pissing match of who works the hardest. And I feel like, though, it's been a really incredible time to have that pause and to look at who and what matters most. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that in people as they look at their goals. Do you see people that are, their goals are maybe evolving, or they're changing in a way of what they're prioritizing and why they're prioritizing them?
Yes, it is so delightful. First of all, to see people take some of the pressure off of themselves to be these hyper-performing creatures, right? That is so powerful to me. My practice is all about celebration. So, I believe that the key to happiness might be in the celebration of accomplishing or working towards your goals. So it's taking the pressure off. It's like, there's a little bit of space and breathing room, and the goals have become so much more centric to oneself, right? It's like the percentage of clients that I have that are focusing on their health and their home, like I said, the sphere of influence kind of stuff, without me even saying anything, versus the percentage that is focusing on, you know, the new car and the, you know, the promotion and that sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, but people are definitely turning inward, and that makes me very, very happy, because when I see a bunch of women and men running around, accomplishing and moving towards their goals, it creates confidence, right? And I believe that there's nothing more beautiful than a confident human. So that creates a ripple effect, right? And we basically everyone gets to experience that when you are feeling good and you're feeling worthy and you're feeling, productive, but not in, you know, an overly crazy way. I feel it myself, honestly, Jesse. I feel like there's just more space, and I've been putting less pressure on myself, but I've also been just as productive. I painted my entire kitchen, my cabinets over the last 3 days. And, you know, it's been a really powerful time, I think, for all of us to tap into what we can create and how we can stop consuming. Creation versus consumption, you know? Yeah, there's been a huge shift, and it's wonderful. It's so wonderful.
Do you find that your clients are, I love that your practice is based on celebration. Do you find that your clients are more open to celebrating, or there's less resistance to it? Because what I found is with a lot of high achieving people, the idea of celebrating more is almost a romanticized idea, right? They talk about it, but they're really, once it comes up, it's almost like, okay, that I's been dot, that T's been crossed, it's on to the next thing.
Check.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Yeah, I did it. Maybe you get a high five or, you know, a couple emojis in a text message or something like that. But it's that's it. Versus now, it's almost like, I think one of the gifts that comes when we actually have the opportunity to stare our mortality in the face, which we've all had that thought at some point, is we really do get to assess like how we, you know, I think that at least for a moment, our values of how we value a moment changes. And it's almost like the moments have a little bit maybe more meaning to them. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you've experienced that with your clients at all, where they're more open to celebrating. Is there less of a barrier of resistance to really actually pausing to appreciate what they're doing and what they're creating?
Well, I think the answer is yes. And so the yes and comes from that basically we all have these baby opportunities, right? And goal setting is in this weird space. I don't know how to describe it, but it's in this weird space between manifesting and stepping into your power and, you know, asking for the support of the universe and God and all of that. And that's very forward thinking, right? It's very, very forward. And the dance is between being present. And so, you know, it's like, I value what's coming and I am attracting, I'm actually attracting these things. And I'm also right here. So the celebration part is really just an act of being present. And I think that having the space, maybe, so a lot of my clients, you know, single moms, entrepreneurs, have more time to do the celebration. And what I talk about in my practice is it has to be a deliberate celebration. So you know for sure that when you're doing that, you are actually celebrating your work. So for example, So let's say your goal is to go on a trip to Ecuador, right? You going on the trip to Ecuador is not the celebration. It's going to be awesome and you did it and that's amazing. But the celebration of you working towards that goal is maybe a nice dinner that's separate and that's, you know, specifically carved out for you to celebrate that goal. So, I think that it's been really fun for my clients to sort of play more in, you know, okay, what different ways could I celebrate this versus, I'm going to celebrate when I get there. So it's like our goals are a bit more, they're more zoomed in. So time frame wise, and it feels like that sort of invites the opportunity to celebrate more and along the way, right? We're not working on 10-year goals. We're working on like getting, you know, feeling wonderful in 2020. And so there's all these little baby opportunities, these moments where we can celebrate, and they're all written down in my practice. These baby deliberate celebrations are part of the practice. So it's just fun and powerful.
I love that. Baby, little baby moments.
Baby moments. Yeah. Did that answer your question, Jesse?
Yeah. I love that. I haven't heard baby moments before. That's fun. I really like that. When you're walking your clients through goal setting process, what is the biggest sticking point you find them encountering when they're setting goals, and how can people overcome that?
100%. So I think there's a big difference between doing the activity of goal setting, which is the piece of the journaling, and it's writing down your action plans, and it's carving out basically everything you must do to make the goal happen. That's very much like a pen to paper situation. So where I help clients sort of bridge the gap is taking it out of your journal and getting it into real life and getting to work. So I think the biggest sticking point is doing the work. It's putting in the actions, right? And so nature abhors a vacuum. And so I always tell my clients, like, what's one tiny thing when we get off the call today? One tiny thing that you can do to get this in motion, right? That tiny little step, it's like a snowball, you know, rolling down the hill. So just getting that one little thing going. So I think that, yeah, the taking the first step and taking action. Also, the accountability part is huge. So there's a big difference between internal and external accountability. And like Jesse, let's say, for example, I was like, let's meet at the gym at 9, you know, when we get to go to the gym again, so excited, you know, and I bailed on you, you know, 3-4 times and I flaked on you, you would say, you know what, that doesn't feel good. There's a breakdown of the relationship there. You would probably not want to go to the gym with me anymore. And likewise, when we make promises to ourselves and we say we're going to do something and then we don't do them, there's a breakdown of relationship there as well. So internal accountability is truly a muscle that needs to be flexed over time. And I have clients that are very good at it. You know, they don't need to necessarily tell anyone what they're up to, you know, to stay on path. But I think that having external accountability and taking that step in your goal setting process to find someone that you can share what you're doing that will keep you accountable, you know, gently, we're not like, it's not like, these aren't like tattooed on our arms, you know, just gently sort of support you and lift you up in your process. That's another sticking point. So changing from, I'm going to keep this to myself and I promise I'm going to do it, which I am so sneaky. I will not. Like if I'm like, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm going to go do my Peloton at 9. I don't do my Peloton at 9. Right. And so we want our internal accountability to be as strong as our external accountability. Whereas I would say, Jesse, I'm meeting you at the gym at 9 and I was there every day. And then you understood that, you know, that's powerful. So to paraphrase, the two kind of sticky points are, getting to work and, you know, taking those kind of first steps, taking it from your journal into real life, and also, taking that step into accountability land. You know, we're responsible for the work with our goals. There's not a lot of other people that are responsible for it. And if you really want it, like I talked about the why, which is the second step in 7 steps. When you have a really strong why, you're going to want to work on it, and it's fun and it is exciting. You know, like I was like, I'm going to paint my cabinets. I'm going to do my whole kitchen. It was all oak. It's like, hey, this is a goal. I really need to like think about this. Why do I want to do this? Because I want to love my kitchen. I want to cook delicious food in my kitchen, and I want the happier the chef, the happier the food, you know, it's all about energetics of food. So that was the goal. And when I wanted to stop and when I was tired and my feet hurt, it's like, why do I want to do this? And sure enough, you're back on track. Yeah. Start with Why by, I think it's Seth Godin is a fantastic book. Is it Seth Godin?
Simon Sinek started with
Simon Sinek. Thank you. Yes. I get those two. Yeah. Fantastic book.
Accountability land is one of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah.
And I've often found though for myself and for others too, that one of the challenges in having an extended stay there is there's this impatience that comes up and it's this impatience of, I recognize fully that it's, smaller steps are going to get me a lot further usually than these big, huge ones, even though, you know, we hear massive action, but often the most massive action is taking that first tiny step.
Right.
You know, we have more stability. We get more assuredness of our footwork, everything else. And we're less likely to trip and fall if we take those huge, big steps when we're unsure of the terrain right away. But when we go in and we're in accountability land, we're impatient to get through to the other side of it. And we start trying to run before we're ready to walk. Mm. How do we negotiate that? Like, how do you get someone to really value and appreciate that? If if you're trying to launch a business or you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to improve your relationship, whatever that is, that it's going to be something that is repetitious and daily actions over time versus you're probably going to be much more successful doing that than it's Wednesday right now. And by Friday, we're going to have all the problems solved, madly in love, lose 20 pounds, making 7 figures, etc.
Right, right. Yeah, I think again, so partial answer to that is just staying in the celebration, right? It's absolutely paramount to stay in the, and it, again, that's sort of a muscle that needs to be flexed too. we're so quick as humans to accomplish a small feat, even if it's habitual, like you said, daily basis, to skip over and say, now what's next? I just truly believe that when you're living in that celebratory moment for even the smallest thing, you get to honor your work, and that then propels you into the next step. The other thing I want to say about that is, it's a dance. We don't always want to be in super hyper accountability land. And I think there's a time for us to, as a goal coach, I even say a time that we press the pause button on our goals. So, you know, you don't always have to be working towards something, you know, you can just be. And I think that that's a really powerful moment to be in, which also gives you a lot of clarity about how you're going to move forward. So, and, you know, goal setting is like this iterative pathway, right? You might find that you are working towards something and you've set your action plans and you've dove headfirst into accountability land and you're there. And consistently, the work is just not lifting up your energy, right? You're like, this feels like heavy. I don't want to do it. I find myself resisting. You know, in my practice, if you're in that moment, just take the boots off and we pivot, right? Move on to something else. So when I say that, you know, goals aren't tattooed on you, like this is a playful practice that's, you know, meant to be powerful so that you can manifest and help attract what's most meaningful to you. Not to be in the rigid land of accountability where we are always, you know, if you miss something, we're beating ourselves up, or, you know, that's the internal negative chatter and sort of the committee voice that I'd like to like quiet. So we do a lot of work with that stuff too. But I think that with my 7 steps, it gives you a framework that allows you to play. And then, you know, the coaching piece sort of comes from, okay, what's next? How do I put it into action? I don't feel like working on this at all right now. And I'm like, okay, don't. Cool. Let's just shift gears. You know, there could be some resistance around working towards your goal because you've put in a lot of effort and you haven't seen results. And let's give you a small win. Let's work towards something that, you know, that feels really good. And you can sit in that moment and celebrate that. Yeah.
Do you find that those small wins, those micro wins, are sometimes more meaningful than the big ones?
Yeah, 100%. That's you being in the moment. That's you living in the present. Not only are you living in the present, but you are in a celebratory state. So it's like a double win. You know, it's like, I'm honoring the work that I did and I feel so good right now. Let's amplify that, if that makes sense. And by amplifying, I mean celebrating. Like, even if I'm making nachos tonight for dinner, that's a celebration. You better believe it.
Yeah, any night with nachos should be celebrated. If you're not celebrating nachos on your plate, you are really missing out.
You need a goal coach if you're not celebrating nachos.
Lauren, I'm curious, how do you integrate goals? And maybe this is part of your 7 steps, so maybe you can cover all 7 steps too, because I'm really curious on what they are. Do you integrate your goals with physical environment too? In a sense of, is there environmental integration with goals? And I'm really curious because, again, your space is so, it has such a good feeling as I'm looking at it. You have the plants, you have the lighting. And so if you do, what does that look like? How can we integrate our goals into our environments?
Literally my favorite question ever. Like, you could not have asked a more wonderful question. So here's the thing. We are energy. The planet has energy. Our things have energy. All matter has energy, right? And so one way that you can supercharge your goals is to understand that your physical space has energy as well. And I love that you said it feels good and it looks pretty, right? Like, it's nice to look at. So automatically, when you see something that is pretty, it elevates your energy. Likewise, if you see something that's broken or in disrepair, or it's, you know, full of clutter, that lowers your energy. So, you know, this is this ancient Chinese practice. It's actually a natural science and it's called feng shui. And so how all this happened is my mom and I are business partners with the Feng Shui Collective. And we, you know, she's been a Feng Shui practitioner, consultant, guru, master for 30 plus years. And she's a Virgo, so she's very tidy. And so, you know, I kind of grew up with this. And what we started doing was I was hosting goal coaching workshops, and then she would follow up with a feng shui workshop after. So here's the process. Learn how to set your goals and set them with intention. So work my 7 steps, all of that. And then figure out where your goal lives energetically inside of your home and in your body and get to work. So what we figured out was that, and no one else is doing this, which makes me so happy. There's literally this eruption of power when you know the energy centers of your home and you have a goal there, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm in this is my abundance area, right? So we have lots of growing things, lots of light. I've got, you know, my crystals and all kinds of, you know, they're called feng shui cures, but this is my money zone. So if I have a money goal, I know exactly where to work in my home. And I cannot tell you the number. I mean, we have hundreds of testimonials that is like, you would not believe what happened. I set my goal. It was a career goal. I wanted to, you know, shift or get a promotion, and bam, got to work, and it's there. And that's really like the most wonderful part of what we do. You know, it's like we call them magic, like these magical stories that, like, you know, coincidence. Maybe. I'm not sure. I think that you went to work in your space with intention. And that's literally the definition of feng shui, by the way. So feng is wind, and that's intention, and that's what you cannot see. And shui is water, and that's moving things around that you can touch, like you can touch water. So when you combine, it's not just interior design. You're combining the movement of matter in your homes with your intention, and it's just the most wonderful thing. So yes, in short, I will say that there is an incredible convergence of being crystal clear with what you want. And I truly believe in the power of written word. Like, write that shit down. Write it down. If it's an idea and it's just banging around in your head, it's going to stay an idea. And the universe is going to understand that you're serious when you take the first step and write it down. You know, that paired with understanding the energy centers in your home and in your body and on the planet, it's wild. It's the most wonderful thing to experience with our clients. Absolutely wonderful.
I find that so utterly fascinating, and
it's wild.
Yeah. And part of what I find so fascinating about it is it is the antithesis of the opposite mm-hmm. of what the traditional entrepreneurial story is that we get told, that you're supposed to work in a shithole space, yeah. You know, pack everything into a closet, sleep on the floor, you know, have your desk that doubles as your sleeping quarters, pile up your Cokes, your Red Bulls, your takeout, everything else.
Yeah, a head down. Just
head down, absolutely. And so then so many of the people I feel like that are almost revered as being these entrepreneurs that have built these great businesses, you look at them and you wonder, well, like, are they fulfilled? Are they really happy? Like, they've built this great business. And the fact that you're so intentional with creating a physical environment that integrates with your goals and it's energetically in alignment with that, I think that's...
It fortifies them.
Yeah.
It fortifies them, truly. Yeah.
I think that's absolutely incredible. And I think it's almost in a way too, maybe that, you know, there's that whole act as if piece, right? But if you're energizing it from that as if versus why would you have to, I just don't agree that our goals, to achieve our goals, it has to be dirty and muddy and grinded right. out and all those types of things. I think yeah. it can be well lit and bright and happy and elicit these good feelings. And it doesn't have to be that trudging off through the mud and going to battle type thing that we're often brought into, that it can be this really beautiful place that we feel so excited to be in.
Right. Like, what do you, I mean, you know, the process is like, do you want the process to be like a soft, easy journey where everything is sort of flying at you in the most wonderful way? Or do you want to dig through, you know? And I think that really one of the key things that I talk about in this practice is that our spaces are not only a reflection of who we are, but they are a reflection of who we are becoming. And so when I think about my goals and how I would like to move towards them and experience, you know, the ultimate achievement and that amazing celebratory state, I would like to instill, you know, the power of manifestation, and I would like to experience some ease as I go through. You nailed it where I'm not going to be someone who's accomplishing my goals that's like slamming Red Bull and like head down at my desk in a cubicle. Like, I would like to experience delight throughout the entire process. Like, none of it should be terribly hard or you know, gross, or, you know, I think that the way that I work on my goals is like, hey, like, I have this beautiful space. I'm so excited to sit here and to get to work on what really lifts me up and lights me up. So it's like a motivator at the same time, but it's also like a really powerful tool to make you feel like you've got it. Like, it's all just going to come to you, like full receive mode, you know, full receive mode. Yeah. It's the most wonderful thing. Pairing goals and feng shui is just, it's something that I really want everyone to experience, because it's impacted my life in so many positive ways. Like, the stories are just, they're unbelievable, but because I'm aware of the practices and what can occur, it makes sense. It's like I said, coincidence. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Lauren, we're almost out of time, and okay. I want to be respectful of you in the audience, so let's ask one more question. As a goal-setting coach whose world is in goals and working with people on goals, what is, if you don't mind sharing, what is one of your goals, or what is the goal that you're the most excited about right now?
Yes, so working within my sphere of influence. I got a couple. This is classic goal coach stuff. So I'm going to try and, so my favorite thing to do in the world is travel over with my husband, and we have not been able to do that. So staying within the sphere of influence, I have been so delighted to work on sort of more of a research piece in our travels for the future when we can travel. So it's basically like the goal is to, well, basically replace all the travel that we were doing in 2020 and put it in 2021, but also to just play and set goals around, you know, and discover new places that maybe I didn't know that I wanted to travel. So it's basically taking a goal that I would normally say, I travel to Honduras by, it's I blank by date, you know, I date. I traveled by, you know, June 2020, which is not happening. Neither is the Maldives, which was booked, signed, sealed, delivered for July. It's more of a playful goal, and it's been so fun to just research. And so my action plans around a more research-based goal are like spend an hour, you know, 30 minutes a day and just play on Google Earth, look where the water's pretty, see where the mountains are the tallest, you know, and it's just playtime. So that's been really fun. Also, my home. I have never done so much work in my home. And it looks amazing. It looks so good. I feel so nested and wonderful. And so my goals around my home are like, I live in a happy, beautiful, uplifting home environment. And the ways that I do that are redo my bedroom and paint my kitchen cabinets. And I wish I will show you the before and after pictures. They are wild. So yeah, my goals have been around kind of researching and playing in travel land to attract that kind of energy, because I'm missing it so deeply. And I'm staying within my sphere of influence and making my home a sanctuary so that I can work and thrive and cook beautiful meals, and that my husband comes home from work and feels, you know, it's like that feeling. Last thing, you've walked into a space before and you just go, ah, oh, that feels so good. This feels so good, right? Versus when you're like, ooh, something's off, something's not right. So I'm striving to be in that area where it's like you walk into my home and you just go, yes, like exhale. Yeah.
Love that. Everyone, this is going to be one of those rewatch, re-listen, take lots of notes. There is so many gems and words of wisdom here that Lauren shared with us today. Uh-huh. Talking about laying out your goals and coming up with a why with them and looking at how you can celebrate those little wins every day. About really, you know, being in the wins is also being present in the moment and putting that value on your moments. That looking at taking those small steps in your goals is really going to be long-term much more successful. And how you can reconcile with the guilt that you may feel if you're thriving and you're succeeding right now, or if you have that desire to, and recognizing that you are here to be of service, you are here to earn, you're here to help others, and that you're allowed to do that even during these more what could be challenging times. The idea that your goals can integrate with your physical space, and I loved what you said there towards the end, that your physical space is a reflection not only of who you are, but who you're becoming. I think that is so utterly profound in the sense of, I'm looking at my walls around me right now, since now that you're talking, and some of them are very much reflection, but some of them also kind of have that meh, typical entrepreneur feeling. So wondering, how is this reflecting who I am and who am I becoming? How can I adjust that? The opportunity that there is there with being accountable to yourself and getting that internal and external accountability, and how important that is, and seeking that out in your life. And last but not least, all of us are experiencing maybe some alterations in our plans, the best laid plans that we came out. This whole thing really happened where we came out into 2020, new year, new decade, laid out our goals. This was going to be our year that we were going to do X, Y, Z, and then this thing happened. And so we have choice in that. We could sit there and mourn what we perceive as a loss, or we could do exactly as Lauren did and shift the goal and look at playing. And I love that. The goal that she's most excited about right now is looking at how she can just play more on building towards those goals that she once had for this year, and now she's now moving back into the new year to come in 2021. And what a beautiful thing it is. All of us could find 30 minutes to go on Google Earth and just play and allow ourselves to think about where we want life to take us. Lauren, this has been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for sharing. This has been, what a blessing it's been. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Jesse. Thank you for having me. So much fun.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time, everyone, on another edition of A Handful of Hope. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.